Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which reign receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, thank God, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet together here today. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless us in a special way, in a mighty way. I pray, Lord, as the word of God is preached, if there's someone here without Christ as their Savior, that they'd be saved. I also pray, Lord, that those of us that are saved, Lord, may we understand a little deeper what happened on that day that we got saved. Lord, we're going to spend some time just counting our blessings this morning, and I pray and ask, God, that you would use this service today in a special way. Minister to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the phrases that you probably begin to pick up on that's in the portion of Scripture that we read, one of the phrases that we've seen repeated more than once is this little two-word phrase, free gift, free gift. In verse number 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And then we go on down at verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is, notice this, the gift, the gift. And it goes on in that verse to say, by one to condemnation, but the, notice this, free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And then we see down in verse number 18, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, what I want to talk about this morning, what I want to preach on is this subject, the gift that keeps on giving. The gift that keeps on giving. I've become a bit jaded. I guess it just comes with age and when you interact with the world and you see how dishonest the world is. But when the world tries to offer me a free gift, have you arrived where I've arrived? I mean, I'll get a phone call and somebody will say, Mr. Ross, I'll go, oh no, yes. I've been the one that's been appointed to call and tell you that you and your wife has won a 7-day free cruise to the Bahamas. And you know what I say? I'm sorry, I'm not interested, click. Now, some of you young people are sitting out there saying, Brother Jerry, somebody called your house and said that you had won a free gift, a free cruise for 7 days to the Bahamas, and you said, I'm not interested, click. That's because you haven't lived very long. That's because you haven't been hooked and reeled in a few times in your life. Amen. I mean, folks, let me just say this, and it pretty much is true. When it comes to the world, if it sounds good, too good to be true, it probably is. Amen. And the world's free gifts almost always are not free. Matter of fact, when the world says, I have a free gift for you. If you want to continue that conversation, go ahead and get your checkbook out. Because somewhere along the line, that quote-unquote free gift is going to cost you something. I'm afraid all people have become that way. Those of us that have any life experience, we're suspect the minute somebody tries to offer us something free. But I've got great news for you. When God uses the term free gift, He means exactly what He said. The free gift that God offers us has no strings attached and will cost you absolutely nothing. Now, I want to make five statements in introduction here, so listen to these five statements. We won't go into each of them very deeply because I want to just use them as introductory statements. Number one, salvation is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. Now, if you ever run into anybody that tries to tell you anything other than that, if they try to add anything and make it cost you something or require you to do something in order to be saved, you realize that person's a charlatan, they're a false prophet, they're not sent by God, they're peddling a perverted gospel, what Paul calls another gospel, which is not a gospel, because the good news never has a price tag on it. Salvation is a free gift. Number two, let me say this, though. Salvation costs us nothing but costs God a great price. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You know, if somebody on this earth truly does offer you something free, it wasn't free. No, it wasn't free. If they offer you something free and they're sincere and you get it and it was free, remember, it still costs somebody something. Now, young people, all of you ought to listen to what I'm saying right here. There's way too much in this world, a lack of appreciation. There's way too much. Listen, when you've replaced in your life thankfulness and gratitude with expectation, you're in a bad place. When somebody does something for you or gives you something, I'm talking about your mom, I'm talking about your dad, I'm talking the ones that take care of you and pay your bills and put food on your table. When you get to the point where you have a spirit of expectation, what's that mean? Well, they owe that to me. You expect it. You're not thankful for it. You're expecting of it. When expectation replaces gratification, then I'm going to tell you, you're in a bad, dangerous place in your life. Remember, if anybody ever gives you anything free, it wasn't free. It may have been free to you, but it wasn't free to that person. Now, that's the way salvation is, folks. You know what? We don't have to pay anything for it. You know why? Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, my salvation cost me nothing, but it costs God a huge price. God embraced His Son and said His goodbyes and sent Him down to be born of a virgin. God in heaven, with all of the angels and all of the power of all powers at His disposal, watched a world reject His Son, watched a world kill His Son. And you know what? It cost God everything so that we could have something free. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Don't ever forget that. Number three, if you try to buy salvation, you can't have it. Don't forget that. Salvation's a free gift. Salvation costs us nothing but costs God a great price. Now, if you come and you try to purchase it, you can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have it. You ever had somebody so determined to give you something free and you felt bad about it? You felt obligated to do something for them? And they finally just put their foot down and said, listen, it's either free and you take it, or if you try to do something for it, you don't get it. You know what? They really want to give you a free gift. Now, that's the way God is. You know why? When you come, watch this, don't miss this, think about this. When somebody says, well, God paid for our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, but He also wants us to, what you're saying is you're saying that the price that Jesus paid wasn't enough. You see, God is very insulted when somebody comes and tries to pay for salvation. God's very insulted when somebody comes and says, well, yes, I do trust in Jesus and what he did, but I also need to. God is insulted. He's offended by that. And so if you try to buy salvation, God has set this rule. You either take it as a free gift, or if you come with anything in your hand, you absolutely cannot have it. And he will not give you salvation if you try to buy it. Number four, salvation cannot be purchased, but it can be received. Now, this is a wonderful thing about salvation. God has purchased a great gift, this free gift, and he holds it out to us, and it's paid for, and it's completely, completely finished. And he holds it out to us, and the only thing in the world that we can do in order to receive it is to receive it. It is to receive it. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Listen, somebody can buy you a gift or buy me a gift, and they can come and they can hold it out to me, but you know what? That gift will never become mine till I accept it. Till I accept it. I, in my life, a few times, just happened just a few times, I could tell you the instances, and I don't feel freedom to do it. I've purchased a gift for somebody, went as an act of friendship, tried to offer it to them, and had them reject that gift. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Can I tell you something? That's a discouraging feeling. That's a discouraging feeling. You know what? God can purchase the gift for you, but he has created us with a free will. You have to choose to receive it. And if you do not choose to receive it, you do choose to reject it. Statement number five. Salvation is a free gift that keeps on giving. Salvation is a free gift that keeps on giving. Now, what do you mean, Brother Jerry? Last Christmas, my daughter Tabitha, is she in here? My daughter Tabitha bought me and my wife a gift. It was a very, very nice gift. And she was so afraid. And by the way, it wasn't very big. The gift wasn't very big. And I'll tell you what it was. It was one of those gizmos that you can put in your car and you can type an address into, and then it will find where you're at and find where you're supposed to go. And it makes me nervous. I'll just be honest with you. This box talks to you. I mean, you go to pull out of your driveway and it says, turn right. 50 feet, turn right. 20 feet, turn right. You turn right. If you turn left, it yells at you. Yeah. I don't know. It's got an attitude problem. But I sometimes want to go away. It doesn't want me to go. But it's got an attitude problem. And but she was so afraid that we were going to figure out what it was that when she wrapped it, the stinker, when she wrapped it in a box about this big. And she shoves it over by the tree. And I'm like, whoa, look at that. Well, that morning we unwrapped the gift. Me and Cheryl unwrapped the gift and we opened it. And inside of that gift was another box, just a little smaller, that was also wrapped as a gift. We reached in and pulled that out. We unwrapped that one. Guess what was in it? Another box that was wrapped as another gift. We pulled it out. We unwrapped it. There was a smaller box. This happened 6-7 times. I got to thinking, we're going to get all the way to the end and there's going to be nothing in this box. And we finally got to the last box and opened it up, and there was the gift. You know, what I found out is when Christ offered the free gift of eternal life and I took it and I began to unwrap it, you know what I found inside of it? A whole bunch of other gifts. A whole bunch of other gifts. Can we just have some fun this morning? Those of us that are saved, can we just count our blessings? Can we just take our treasure box out and kind of dump all our treasures and run our fingers through them and rejoice at everything that we got, that God gave us when we got saved? When you receive salvation, let me give you this. When you receive salvation, the gift, the free gift of salvation, you also receive several other gifts. Let me give them to you. Number one, eternal life. Eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you get saved, you not only get salvation, but with salvation comes eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, 10 times in the New Testament, God promises to those of us that are saved that we have everlasting life. 26 times in the New Testament, God promises eternal life to those who are saved. I love John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I like that. It says if you've received Christ as your Savior, if you've been saved, you're not going to one of these days get eternal life. Right now you have eternal life. What are you saying, Brother Jerry? I'm saying you're looking at a guy that already has eternal life. You're looking at a guy that's already been gifted, given everlasting life. You say, you mean you're never going to die? That's exactly what I mean. Now, wait a minute, Brother Jerry. Come on, Brother Jerry, wait a minute. I know saved people that have died. You know people that are saved whose body died. But you've never met a saved person whose soul has ever been touched or tainted with even the breath of death. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know what death is? Death is when you simply move from one house to another house. Are you listening to me? You move from one house to another house. You don't have to, you say, well, we're going to move, Brother Jerry, so what I'm going to have to do is die. No, you don't have to die to move. You just got to pack your belongings and you have to go from one house to another house. Well, you know what? When somebody dies who's saved, listen, they don't really die, they just move. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Think about this. I like this thought. I like to think about this. You know what? I think we, even as Christians, we've turned this thing of death into some kind of a big, giant, black monster that it's simply not. It doesn't have its sting anymore. It's not like that for the Christian. Matter of fact, death, when God sees, the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord the death of his saints. That's not a sorrowful time to him. That's a precious time for him. You know what else the Bible talks about? When it's talking about people that are saved, dying, many, many times, most of the time in the New Testament, when it's talking about a Christian, it doesn't even use the word death. It talks about them falling asleep. Amen, that sounds good. Some of you want to do it right now. Brother Jerry, I feel it calling me now. Amen. Oh, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Of touching a hand and finding it God's. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial. What's that mean? That means when you sleep, breathe out and you breathe in. And it, like about 20% of the guys in here, it sounds like... Now, folks, let me give you a little comfort. Honestly, for a Christian, they take that last breath. We say, oh, they took their last breath. No, you just saw half of the breath. You just saw half the breath. They may have breathed out for their last time and breathed this old stinking, wicked, sinful earth's air. When they breathed back in, they were breathing celestial air. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Now that's what you get when you get saved. Boy, that came inside the package. I thought I was just getting salvation. I opened it up and guess what? God said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw in some things along with that. How about eternal life? Man, that's a blessing, isn't it? How about this? When you receive salvation, you also receive peace. Peace. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I love Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the kind of peace the world can't understand. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Isn't it? How many times in your Christian life have you been in a situation where maybe there's a lot of external things that are going wrong and you are saying to yourself, I really ought to be more upset than I am. I mean, you know what? I got this bad news and I got this bad news and this happened and this situation I'm having to deal with. And yet in the middle of all that, there's this peace, there's calm that comes over you. You know why? Because you go to the Lord, you present those things to the Lord, you ask Him for help, and you can do that because you're saved. You can do that because that's one of the things inside the box. And so you get to communicate with the God of peace, and the God of peace gives you a peace that passeth all understanding. Next thing you know, you're kind of like, you know what? I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You want to see the difference between the peace of God in a Christian's life and the turmoil of the heart in a lost person's life? Go to a funeral. Most of you are not in a situation where you've ever stood in front of a group of people at a funeral. Some of you have. Some of you have sung in funerals and you've looked out and you've seen exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you in here have spoken at funerals, and if you've paid attention, you've seen what I'm talking about. There is a peace that comes along with being saved, that even in times of great sorrow, God just ministers to your heart. And is there sorrow? Of course there's sorrow. But we don't sorrow as the world sorrows. There's a peace. That's part of the package deal. That's part of what comes with salvation. Now, how does this compare with the world? Think about 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, a lost person has this perpetual terror, an unease in their heart. They always feel like they're on the brink of something horrible happening. And they live their life that way. And even when they try to say with their lips and talk themselves into the fact that things are okay, peace and safety, next thing you know, sudden destruction comes upon them. One of the things that was interesting, I didn't bring the book out here, but if you read in the book that I wrote with Ron Allen, you'll see that one of the differences, one of the testimonies to the saving grace of God that everybody in his life recognized almost immediately after he was saved was a peace. He said people call it a glowing peace. That's what he said. People call it a glowing peace. And this is what another thing he said. He said, before I got saved, I used to wonder what the next bad thing was going to be that happened in my life. So I just spent my whole time wondering what bad thing's going to happen next, just almost living in dread. He said, after I got saved, I thought, man, I can't wait till the next good thing that's going to happen. Folks, listen to me. That's what comes inside the box. It's not just a free gift. There's a whole bunch of gifts that come with the free gift. Let me give you this one. How about this? Boy, this is fun. A purged eternal record. A purged eternal record. You know what? God didn't have to throw that in, but he did. I love Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Now this great white throne judgment, for those of you who know your Bible, we know that that is the judgment where those who die without Jesus Christ, that is where they will stand, and that is where they'll be judged. Now, there is a book, the book of life, that's mentioned. There's also books that are mentioned. Now, you young men and young ladies, I want you to get this. I want you to know what's going on in heaven. I'm going to give you a little sneak preview. I want you to know what's happening right now in heaven. There is a book. I can't wait to see it. Hey, Brother Jared, do you really think it's a book? It says it is. I guess the Bible says it's a book. It's a book. Okay, I think it's a book. I picture this big, large book. And that book is called the Book of Life. And every single time a person receives, truly in their heart, receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's awesome. That means if you go back in history, if you go back, every single person in this room that's truly saved, the moment that they repented of their sin, received Christ, asked Jesus Christ to save them, their name, you could go into that book right now in heaven and you'd find their name. If you're saved, your name is in that book. By the way, if you're not saved, your name is not in that book. It's not there. Well, I'm trying to be a good person. That doesn't get your name in the book. Well, I try to be obedient to my parents. That's not what gets your name in the book. But I joined a church. That doesn't get you. It may get your name in the book or in the a book in the office of the church office somewhere, but it doesn't get your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only when you receive Christ as your Savior. When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, the first thing that's going to happen is God's going to check the record book, the book of life. Is their name written in the book of life? That's the book. By the way, make sure you got your name in that book. You make sure you got your name in that book. But the Bible also says that there's books in heaven. Let me tell you what's in those books. I believe that those books contain a record of our lives. I believe God keeps an accurate record of our lives. You mean, Brother Jerry, you're going to tell me that somewhere in heaven there is an accurate record of everything that I've done, everything that I've said, everything that I've thought? It's all written down somewhere? Yep. Yep. Oh, my goodness sakes. They're going to open that book? Yep. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not saved, you really need to be worried. Because not only is your name not in the Lamb's Book of Life, but every sinful thought, deed, action, and intent of your life is recorded in detail. And you'll stand to answer for those things. Now, here's the great part. If you're saved, something really neat happens. First of all, they open the Lamb's Book of Life and they write your name in. Then they go over to the book of everything that you've ever done and ever will do that's wrong, and they open it up, and instead of there being a record of that, of your sins in that book, instead what is in that book is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the devil one of these days may stand before God and say, wait a minute, I know Jerry Ross. You better check the records. I've watched him. I know some of the things he said. I know some of the things he did. And God's going to say, check the record book. He's going to open the book and he's going to say, hold it up to everybody to see. And all they're going to see is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the devil's going to say, hey, where'd all those sins go? Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. As far as the east is from the west, so does he separated our sins from us. You know where all those sins are? They're put on the record of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he paid with them, washed them away with his blood. Now, you know what? I'm going to tell you what. You're not saved, and you want to stand before God one of these days, and you want to have the Lamb's Book of Life open and your name not in it, and you want to have the other book open and a detailed record of every sinful thing you've ever done. And by the way, that's why everybody that stands at the great white throne ends up being cast into the lake of fire. Because if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life and everything that you've ever done, said, thought's written down, and you know what? The only just sentence that God could pass as a result of that type of a situation is, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Thank God. Thank God for the day that I was saved. Woo! Thank God that God's purged the records in heaven. That's part of one of the gifts that come along with the gift of eternal life. Boy, isn't God good? How about this one? Number four. The gift that keeps on giving. We get not only salvation as a free gift, we get eternal life. Not only salvation, we get peace. Not only salvation, we get a purged eternal record. Not only salvation, but we get a wonderful child-father relationship with God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And this is what God's doing. You got saved, you received the gift of eternal life. God says, hey, by the way, go ahead and open that up, and you're going to find another box inside of it that says eternal life. Now, open that one up. You open it up, and there's peace. All right, open that one up. You open it up, and it's a purged record, a purged eternal record. You open that up, and you know what? There's this wonderful little gift. You know what it says? It says, there's a little love note from God in there, and it says, by the way, from now on, I want you to call me Father. I want you to call me Father. You know, it's enough that God would forgive me of my sins and purge my record. But for him to want to have that kind of relationship with me, for him to want to be able to say, listen, now I want you from now on to call me Father. And from now on, by the way, I'm going to call you son. Woo! Now, I think we forget that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and I taught this when we were teaching through prayer, we know the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've memorized it. We've repeated it so many times. But when Jesus looked at his disciples and said, I'm going to teach you how to pray. First of all, you say this, our Father. You have no idea. Old Testament Christians, Jews, for them to address Jehovah God with that level of intimacy? You mean, wait, Jesus, when we pray to God, we say, our Father? I can almost imagine the first disciple that ever tried it. He bowed his head. Our Father. I think a big smile came out of his face. Wow, man, I like that. I get to call God Dad. He gets to be my Abba, my Daddy, my Father. I get to be his son. He didn't just want to save me from my sins. He wanted to adopt me. He wanted to make me one of his children. What a special, special thing. Listen, if you're not saved today, God's not your father. Now, let me just be biblically accurate with you. If you're not saved, God's not your father. Well, Brother Jerry, who is my father? John 8:44. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The honest truth is, we're born in sin. We're born in sin. And the only one, before we're saved, that we could ever call father is Satan himself. And yet when God saves us, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to adopt you into the family of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now folks, man alive, this is fun. This is like Christmas. This is like the best birthday ever. Look at all these presents we have. There's so many other things I could talk about. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit's a wonderful gift that's inside that. How about this? Heaven and all its wonders. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You understand that? When I got saved, one of the gifts that was inside the big box was a mansion. This is an incredible deal. This is an incredible deal. How in the world could somebody see this huge gift with all these gifts inside and say, nah, I don't want that. I think I'll just live my life the way I want to live it. I think I'll just die and end up going to hell. Oh, well. I mean, you're crazy not to get saved. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The gift of heaven and all its wonders. And last of all, inside that box is the gift of a new purpose for living. I think this is one of the greatest things because we can access it now. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. I think one of the greatest gifts that we received along with the gift of eternal life is God says, now that you're my child, I can reveal to you the divine purpose for which I created you. And all of a sudden, everything changes. We're not just existing. There's a reason. There's a purpose. I read something in the paper this week. Look up here and let me have your attention. We'll be done. Look right up here. Read a little article in the paper this week. Does this seem possible? They're very close to celebrating the 10th anniversary of the shooting at Columbine. Does that seem like that should be 10 years ago? Several books are being published. People are cashing in on the 10th year anniversary and they're writing books about it. I looked in the paper and I was reading this article and reading about these books that were being introduced, but what drew my attention was there was a picture. This was in the USA Today this week. There was a picture of the two young men that committed those murders. And I looked at their faces. And it looked like to me that maybe it was a group picture, maybe a picture of a large group of students that was in an auditorium together, but they blew it up and they found these two guys on the back row. And I looked in their faces, and you know what I saw? You know what I saw? I saw hopelessness. I saw despair. I saw sadness. Brother Jerry, I don't understand. What could drive somebody to walk into a school and take a gun and not only kill others, but then turn that gun on themselves and kill themselves? Let me tell you, Let me tell you. They never found the divine purpose for which they were created. Life without Jesus Christ is a life of despair. I'm not saying that every lost person is going to walk into somewhere and shoot somebody. But I'm saying there is an emptiness that comes with trying to live out this life that God's given you outside of a knowledge of God and His will for your life. So you know what? That's pretty good. Man, I appreciate what Tabitha gave me, and I'm going to use it. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, this is the best gift ever. I mean, come on. This is the best gift ever. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you bless our hearts this morning. Lord, thank you for allowing us just to open the Bible and to see these things, be reminded of these things. There may be someone here, Lord, that's never received the gift of eternal life. If they died right now, they have no idea where they would go. They have no peace in their heart about that. Lord, if they were to die right now, they can't say for sure that they'd go to heaven. I pray, Lord, that in the communion service, we were able to point them back to Calvary. I pray in the song service, we were able to point them back to Calvary. I thank God for the special music this morning where we were again reminded of that old rugged cross. And Lord, we look back at what Jesus did and what He purchased for us when He died on an old rugged cross, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. If there's anyone here, Lord, that's never put their full heart, trust, and faith in Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be the day that they're saved. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I feel very much moved to talk to you for just a moment. Let me ask you an honest question. Have you ever been saved? If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Preacher, I don't know that. Well, you know what? There was a day that I walked into a church, sat in a church, and if the preacher would have asked that question, and if I was honest, I would have had to say, no, I don't know that for sure. In my heart, I'd want to know that, but I didn't know it. I'm so glad that I went to a church one day where the gospel was preached. I'm so glad that I had a preacher that preached the Bible plain and true. And I'm so glad that there was a day that I stepped out of my pew, walked to the front, got a hold of the preacher's hand and said, I want to be saved. Because ever since that day, when I bowed my head and prayed and asked Christ to save me, I didn't just get salvation. I got eternal life. I didn't just get salvation. I got a peace. I mean, that night I laid my head on my pillow, and you know what? I never worried again about heaven and hell and what would happen to me. That day I not only got salvation, I got a purged eternal record. I got a child-father relationship with God. I got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I've got heaven and all its wonders, and I got a new purpose for living. All that is a free gift that comes along with the free gift of salvation. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I would ask and urge you to get saved. Preacher, I feel like God's speaking to me, but I'm not sure what to do. In just a minute, we're going to stand to our feet. In just a minute, not yet. We're going to stand to our feet, and we're going to sing an invitation song. As we begin to sing, if you'll simply step from your pew to the nearest aisle and come up here, Brother Reiser's waiting. You just come to him and say, I need to be saved. I want to know how to be saved. And he'll get someone to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved today. Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts, please. We as Christians, Lord, help us to be reminded of how generous of a God you are. Thank you for all that you gave us. Not a one of the things that we talked about this morning. There's not a person in here that deserves any of it. But you loved us and you gifted us these things. Help us to live a life of appreciation for the things that you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name.